Joe, again, thank you for being here today. Can you begin by outlining the peso devaluation effects on the Mexican and U.S. economy?
Okay, yeah, thanks for having me as well, Doug. On the peso, the first thing I'd like to say about that is that there's been a lot of action on it lately, but I want people to keep in mind that it's been a really long-term slide for the peso. So if you look at a chart, let's say going back to 1995, when they, you know, soon after they changed it to the new peso, it's pretty much had periods, short periods of stability, and then it's devalued, and it happened again and again and again. So it's been sliding since the mid-90s. Having said that, I think generally you should look at three aspects that the devaluation would entail. So that would be investments, purchasing decisions, and then recurring transactions. So investment, for example, I think with a devaluating peso, it's pretty straightforward stuff. Weaker peso generally means that Mexico would invest less into the United States. So currently, Mexico does invest in the U.S., and of course it goes the other way as well. But proportionally, it's interesting, Mexico invests more into the U.S. than the U.S. does into Mexico. So U.S. foreign direct investment would be straightforwardly less as the peso weakens. The other way around, U.S. investment into Mexico, it's a bit more complicated because you'd think that the weaker peso should just encourage more U.S. investment in Mexico. Things are cheaper to buy, so investments, assets are in the same sort of position. But the thing is that U.S. firms can also choose to invest in Canada, you know, and staying within the NAFTA zone. So Canada becomes another factor in the location of investment. So that's just something to keep in mind. The Canadian dollar fluctuates a lot, so that can be, you know, a deciding factor on where investment goes in some cases. So similar to the investment side, the purchasing side, similar kind of rationale applies to that. So let's say if somebody wants to decide on where they're going to make future production, the weaker peso should basically encourage more firms to engage with Mexican producers. So the thing is, I think that with the current change in the peso, with the current weakening, there's probably a limited scope for effect here because people are already seeing Mexico as a low-cost supplier compared to Canada. So it doesn't seem like, you know, another, you know, one or two points in the peso weakening is going to make a big, huge difference. It just sort of reinforces the same trend. And then I think we should also keep in mind that exports to Mexico from the U.S. support about a million jobs in the U.S. So it is kind of a big deal. It is pretty important to have U.S. exports into Mexico. So you can see the effects of long-term slide in the peso are pretty wide economically. I hope that answers the kind of...
It does. It gives a good outline. It gives a good outline. As we were talking offline, there's all sorts of different factors that go into a currency's fluctuation. But from your perspective, what do you believe the major causes of the Mexico's peso devaluation?
Yeah, okay. I'd say you're definitely right on that. There's a lot of moving parts, as we talked about before, that affect foreign exchange rates. So currently, there's a lot of talk because, you know, the peso is at its weakest point in many years. There's a lot of talk about current events like the rise of Donald Trump and, you know, Britain's exit from the European Union. People also talk about inflation, Mexican inflation and U.S. interest rate hikes. I think all that stuff is overblown. I just like to, you know, throw out my comment there. I think there's probably... Okay, I'll say two things that I'd like to mention about oil. About the peso, and one of them is oil, in fact. So in the 90s, most of the way through the 90s, oil was pretty cheap. And we know that Mexico is a big producer, but oil is pretty cheap, so it didn't have a strong effect on the peso. But then oil starts climbing in the mid-2000s, and then it really surged in the late 2000s. And that started, I think it started to push the peso around quite a bit. And the interesting thing is, if you look at a correlation between oil and the peso, that correlation got really strong in, let's say, the last 6 years. So after the Great Recession, the correlation between rising oil and rising peso is very strong. So when oil goes up, the peso goes up. Oil goes down, the peso goes down. And that relationship is very, very tight. So it does look like the recent plunge in oil, like after the recession, I think that had a big effect on the weakening peso. And, you know, being here in Canada, I can say that we have a similar situation here. When oil went down after the recession, Canada got hit really hard because we're also a big oil producer. So I think oil's a really big one. The second factor that I'd like to mention is the strength of the U.S. dollar in general. So it's globally seen as the U.S. dollar, I mean, is globally taken to be a safe haven currency. So we know that Europe is having a really hard time in banking right now, and they have a lot of economic concerns. Italy's going through a really tough patch with their banking right now. So the U.S. dollar is kind of a safe haven for the world, and it strengthens against a lot of different currencies. So that includes the peso. So the peso could just be also getting swept up in the, you know, the global sentiments about safety. So those are the, I think, the two long-term factors that we should probably focus on: oil and the relative U.S. global strength.
So, obviously, at first glance, everybody's going to say this gives Mexico a competitive advantage worldwide. Are you in agreement with that, and how would it manifest itself? And I guess the third part of that, is it sustainable?
Yeah, so I think that's true. I think the peso devaluation has increased Mexico's competitive advantage. And I think the long-term decline of the peso, so again, as I said, from the 90s, it's been pretty much weakening the whole time, gives confidence to firms that want to move into Mexico. It doesn't really jag back and forth as much as, let's say, the Canadian dollar has. So if, for example, you look at automakers from all three globally producing regions, North America, Europe, and Japan, they've all moved into Mexico. So you can say that the peso has had an advantage for Mexico. And you can see it here in Canada, too, because there's a lot of complaining in Canada that our auto production growth has pretty much been decimated by the peso and the low cost of labor in Mexico. So the competitiveness within the NAFTA sector is definitely a strong suit for Mexico. We keep hearing about aerospace being one of the next manufacturing sectors in line to move into Mexico in a bigger way. But on the other hand, you have to say that the peso is just one factor, and investment in other sectors like telecommunications and oil extraction, for example, those are not so much tied to the peso, but investment in those fields has been weak because government regulation allows monopolies to persist for years or for decades in those areas. So it's not so much the currency and in the whole economy. It's depending on more like what the government regulations allow.
I would even strengthen your point there based on our history. When we go through doing cost models for manufacturers who are potentially going to set up in Mexico, the only savings there is really on the cost of labor because of the devaluations. All other costs, even Mexico cost, such as telecommunications, infrastructure, is more infrastructure being buildings, is more expensive in Mexico than in the United States or Canada.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, it goes to show that maybe the popular perception of weak currencies is maybe not on the right mark, because there's so many other factors at play there. Yeah. So I guess that's what you're seeing there too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'd like to reinforce again, though, that you know, the peso has been sliding, but it's also been relatively stable. It doesn't really lurch back and forth like you know, the Canadian dollar's been kind of terrible, because people just don't have the confidence to invest here, because they don't know what's going to happen to the price of labor and the price of the dollar.
I think that's interesting, and it leads into the next question. We're talking about this devaluation as a competitive advantage for Mexico, but I got to imagine there are some disadvantages to the international manufacturer with this type of devaluation. And if you alluded to one, if it's going back and forth, it's hard to project. Can you think of any other ones, especially against the dollar or the euro?
Yeah, for sure. Let's say for individual firms who are thinking about setting up somewhere, weaker peso can hurt exports to Mexico by making them more expensive. And in this case, I think maybe you have a lot more information on this than I do, but I've heard some estimates that show that cars that are made in Mexico, for example, use up to half of their parts come from the United States. So those parts that are made in the U.S. and sent to Mexico become more expensive. So, you know, the peso weakening cuts both ways, in other words. And then there's firms that sell in pesos and consolidate their earnings, let's say, in another currency, whether it's euros or United States dollars. They can also lose out. And I think the other one that you can see is as a disadvantage is that someone who borrows within Mexico borrows in pesos, but let's say they're dollar-denominated bonds or loans that they take out. So if they borrow in pesos and then have to repay in dollars, those kinds of holdings can get hurt as well. So having said that, again, there's always a flip side to everything. So the other thing that happens with, let's say, parts that go back and forth across the border, parts and assemblies, the movement in the peso allows you to take on a, you know, what you would call a natural hedge. So if you use Mexican goods in your manufacturers, when you sell those parts back in U.S. dollars into Mexico, then it reduces the price of your exports. So it really depends on how a company sets up their purchasing contracts, what their purchasing terms are. So it can cut back and forth. It's not necessarily one way or the other.
That's a very interesting point. A lot does depend upon the contracts. You know, again, with our client base, some of their clients want to receive part of the peso devaluation in discounts. So it all depends on the contract and how it's set up as to how much advantage you can get. So I think it's interesting that you raise this.
Yeah, and some firms actually want to take on the currency risk. They think they can play those markets better, or maybe they have, you know, more global exposure to other currencies, and they you know, run their currency risk as baskets instead of as individual currencies. So it depends a lot on the particular situation. And I would say for someone moving into Mexico, to, you know, you really have to carefully consider what your position is globally.
Joe, you've alluded to it a little bit, but I want to dive into this a little deeper. When I'm working with my clients and we're discussing the devaluation and trying to project cost moving forward, they are all thrilled with the devaluation. But I sort of have been advising them that when the price of oil goes up or even stabilizes, there could be an appreciation of the peso against the dollar. I'm not an expert, and I say there could be, and I don't try to it. I'd like to get your opinions, your thoughts on what could happen in a little more depth if the price of oil goes up or begins to increase in the barrel cost.
I would start by saying how much is oil a part of the Mexican economy? And we know that it has been a significant part for decades. I mean, I guess Mexico produces something like, oh, I don't know what it is, about 2 or 3 million barrels a day or something around there. So if you look at the, let's say, the magnitude of the shifts in oil prices over the last several years, a $10 change in the barrel price is completely within the realm of recent experience. And in fact, you know, we've had a run-up of $50, $70, and then, you know, a loss of $50. So the price of oil is a huge, I think it's a huge risk on both the upside and the downside. So let's say, for example, if oil was recently, I think it peaked at 140 before the recession or during the recession, and then, you know, so it could, let's say we're at $50, around $50 today, could it go back up to $100? I mean, it seems easy that it could go back that high. So if you look at the, okay, so we tie the oil price back into the correlation that we were talking about before. The peso and the price of a barrel of oil are correlated by about 0.9, which is a very, very strong correlation. So if the oil price, let's say, goes up by $100, it could drag the peso up by, okay, I'm not gonna make a prediction here, but it could, let's say, it could knock 5 pesos off the exchange rate, or 7 pesos, or something like that. So that's, you know, that's around 30%. It could be, okay, so you call it 10, 20, 30% change in the exchange rate. It's a huge factor. So I wouldn't take it too lightly. In other words, I wouldn't think that that the weakening peso could hold on and could be sustainable for a long time. Although it has been, as I said before, it has been weakening gradually over the years. But I think it could now, with a stronger correlation with a barrel of oil, it's a big impact on the Mexican economy, and it could be a big impact on the peso.
Joe, does Mexico have any advantage here against the yen, for example, or other currencies when discussing currency devaluations?
Doug, I think that's a really interesting question, because for myself, I've been watching the yen and the impact on the North American economy for a long time, because I used to be in the auto industry directly. So I think the thing about Japan that's really interesting is that they seem to have developed a long-term strategy to deal with the fluctuations in the yen, and they surprised us continuously over the years, that even every time the yen got stronger, which happened several times, and it got stronger by quite a lot, Japan dealt with it, and everything in the economy improved, and their products improved, and their business practices improved, and they had, you know, radical automation, partly in response to the stronger yen. So every time it happened, every time the yen got stronger, I think Japan got stronger as an industrial economy. So I think the comparison there is that I don't think Mexico has become famous for those kinds of factors, like seeking perfection in their products, or becoming a world power in science and automation and that sort of thing. It's not that Mexico doesn't do that. It's just that they haven't really become a world leader on that front yet. So I would say that alone, the currency advantage, I don't think gives an advantage over places like Japan or economies like Japan. That would be my, I'd sort of sum it up that way. It's beneficial. The devaluation of the peso is beneficial to Mexico, but I don't think it's a huge advantage over Japan and the yen.
So, you know, it's a very interesting comment, because if you look at the Germans, they also went to automation, more efficiencies, as at the time the mark became became stronger, and then later the euro. So that's a very interesting observation. Well, Joe, I really appreciate your time, and we appreciate you joining us on these podcasts.
Hey, thanks. I enjoyed myself, so I appreciate the chance to participate again. Thanks again, Doug.